right, good evening. Time being 5:30, I'd like to welcome you all to tonight's meeting on Monday the 7th of July. Those people who are in the public gallery this evening, welcome. Being 5:30 p.m, I now officially declare the meeting open. I need to start with an apology, and that is that our audio system has passed away, and this is a temporary one. We just need to be really careful. We've only got the set number of microphones at this speed, so you don't have to share amongst councillors. Now, because they're hardwired in, please be really careful when you are passing it to people either side of you that you don't accidentally rip it all out of power sources or will be in trouble. For those members of the community who are here and may wish to ask a question, you can use the one. Approach the table here and use the one in the middle. Unfortunately, also our live streaming is not operational this evening, so that's rather whammy. Thanks to all the technological glitches that we've had. So our apologies, this meeting is still being recorded, and the audio recording will be put up on the website later this evening for those to. Back to it. So, on the issue of audio recording, I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. And in accordance with council's policy, I'll ask the CEO to confirm that the audio recording has started. Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reid, Deputy Mayor Councillor Greydrive, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Richardson and Councillor Street. From our staff this evening we have the CEO, Mr Stewart, the Acting Director of People and Finance, Mr Jones, Director of Engineering Services, Mr Mackey, Acting Director of Government, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Basham, Director of Environment Development and Community Services, Mr Coogie, our executive assistant, Mrs. Morton. Our apologies this evening are from Council of Australia. Before we proceed with tonight's agenda, I have a matter that I'd like to make a statement on, and I feel that it is important to address a matter that is on the public record, so it can be clear. 2 weeks ago, a social media post made some serious allegations regarding the conduct of Council staff in relation to a development application. Specifically, it was claimed that staff held a meeting with representatives on an application at the applicant's property without permission. These claims implied unprofessional conduct by council staff, and I want to be absolutely clear, these allegations are false. A meeting did occur, but it was held at private property of one of the representatives, not at the applicant's. Although the post has since been removed, the damage it caused remains. Council staff were publicly accused of wrongdoing, which understandably caused them distress. It is deeply upsetting to see their professionalism called into question in such a public way. On behalf of council, I would like to offer a sincere and public apology to the staff. These are people who work with integrity, often under considerable pressure and scrutiny, and they deserve our respect and our support. Recently, I was involved in launching the Local Government Association's With the Tone campaign, a call for greater civility and public debate, especially towards elected representatives and council staff. We all have a role to play in setting that tone. I do not believe that the matter should be debated here this evening. What I do ask is that we take this as a learning moment, to pause and consider the consequences of what we post and what we say in public forums. To our staff, we are sorry. We value your work. We see the pressures you face, but we also see the professionalism you bring, and we thank you. That takes us to page one, confirmation of minutes. I'm looking for a mover and a second. So the minutes of the open session of council meeting number 10, held on the 16th of June, 2025, is confirmed as a true record. I've got a mover in Councillor Fox and a second in Councillor Graver. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Workshops held since the last council meeting. We had a workshop on the 30th of June, 2025, on the strategic plan. Take us to page two, declarations of interest. If any councillor have a declaration they would like to make, I have a declaration to make. I have an interest in the matter on page 16.2, and I will therefore be, that relates to the General Management Committee of the Local Government Association election, so I will be leaving the room and not taking part in that debate, and the Deputy Mayor will chair that part. Transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to move from closed into open session or open into closed session? No, thank you. Takes us to questions without notice from the public. Does any member of the public wish to ask a question without notice? Thank you. If you would like to come to our little temporary setup there. Almost like being a counsellor.
Good evening, Charles Biggins, Leslie Bale. I speak tonight as a ratepayer and as a small business operator. My question relates to council's purchase policy. What legal requirement is there under the Local Government Act or any other legislation for council to go through a tender process for the acquisition of goods or service?
The CEO.
Through you, Mayor, in terms of the detail of the back to the Local Government Act to provide you with the course of detail, but purchases over $250,000 are a threshold that needs to go to full tender. If you refer back to Council's purchasing policy, you'll find the policy that guides the stock of this organisation on how we purchase.
Thank you.
Do you have a further question?
Yes. Can Council advise what their annual budget, or three words, in is, and if the total spend on arboricultural services over the past 25 years was in the order of $10 million?
Through you, Mayor, we'll have to take a question.
Can Council confirm that in the past 25 years, there has only been one tender from Kingborough Council for three contractors, and that was only to pre-approve businesses to go onto a panel of providers that council staff could choose from? Can council confirm that over the past 25 years, all contracted tree works were exempt from being put out to tender due to individual jobs falling below the tender requirement threshold? Can council confirm if it was common practice during the past 25 years when requiring two quotes for larger tree works projects that the same companies would be asked to provide those quotes? Can council confirm if the majority of purchase orders issued by council staff for tree works over the past 25 years were for amounts that only required verbal quotes? Can council confirm if at least 80% of the total contracted tree works for the past 25 years, estimated in the order of $10 million, was spent on just two arboricultural businesses. Two businesses that were owned that were owned separately by two members of the same family. Why were these two Aboriginal cultural companies given such preferential treatment by Kingra Council, given they were based in Brighton and Cambridge and needed to transport heavy equipment to and from Kingra for every one of these small jobs that fell short of the required tendering process? Can Council please explain why my business of 25 years, the largest agricultural business in Kingra, for the last 15 years, was not invited to quote on any tree works, even after having successfully tendered to be included on the Kingra Council's panel of providers? How can Council guarantee that ratepayers are getting value for money if the legislative tender process can be and has been so easily bypassed by simply breaking larger maintenance budgets down into smaller jobs exempt from the tender process? Council approved its fraud control and corruption prevention policy November 2024. Council states that it will investigate allegations of impropriety if council currently investigating any irregularities regarding council's procurement of agricultural services over the past 25 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to ask a question? We are now at questions on notice from the public. We had two. The first one is in relation to the Skipper Lane car park development from Ms. McKeon, with an office response from Mr. Smead. And the second one is from Mr. Maynard in relation to loan repayments, with a response from Mr. Smead. Page three, questions without notice from council. Councillor,
thank you, Ben. My question relates to cat management, feral cat management. And my question is, basically, according to the Cat Management Act 2009, the state legislation, an authorised person is somebody who is able to trap cats, but members of the general public are not deemed authorised people. I've asked numerous questions around our investment in feral cat management, because the problem is getting worse, particularly in my area, but I'm sure in other areas around Kingra, and I'm getting feedback from the community as such. So I think the last time that I asked questions around feral cat management, the answer was that there isn't going to be further investment in this financial period in feral cat management from Kingra's perspective. And I'll just confirm that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's the case, but feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. My question really is around how do we either lobby the state government or help volunteers and members of the community to do some of that feral cat management help if they're permitted. So, for example, can the council be playing a role upskilling members of the public who are interested in feral cat management? Can we provide some training and assistance for them to become authorised people, for example? Because clearly, if council can't resource feral cat management in Kingra, who are those other key stakeholders that we can work with and partner with in order to basically get feral cats? I feel like this problem is slipping out of our control very quickly. It's metastasizing, it's getting worse, and I feel like more needs to be done. Now, if we can't do it, who can we work with to make sure that something happens? So really, specifically, my question is around what we can do to help other organisations upskill to become authorised people to deal with feral cats in Kimber.
Thank you. Ms. Schrute. Through you, Mayor. So my understanding is, and you have to excuse my high-level knowledge of this topic, is that we are not authorised to authorise others or to do the training for others to become
license or authorised to do cap management activity. What we could, my understanding is that NRE TAS are responsible for that, but what we could potentially be looking at is finding out that information and providing it through, for example, to our land care groups and giving that information about, you know, interested community members who might like to, if there is a possibility of doing that, training to go and do that. The other thing we do is support 10 Lives, which is a not-for-profit, and they're very active in the space of, I suppose, not just rehoming cat, but ensuring responsible cat management and also assisting with feral cat management as well. So that is an organisation that people in our community can volunteer or show their support to.
Through you, Mayor, just to add to that response, in November 2024, so late last year, there was a motion put and passed at the Government Association of Tasmania meeting around the association establishing the review to determine if or not the right position to management. So there is a broader sector-wide response here, I guess, advocating for a wider position from not just local government, but the state government as well around the nation.
Thank you. And through you, Mayor, that's really comforting to hear that there'll be a sector-wide response in train. My question specifically for Kingra, operationally, do we have KPIs around feral cat management, as in do we have a series of targets that we're trying to achieve or some kind of measurables where we can say, okay, in 2025 this was the situation, in 2026 it's getting a little better, in 2027 we're on track, red light, orange light, green light, or is this something that kind of isn't tracked?
Interesting. We don't have KPIs in terms of targets for management activities. We certainly do track our management activities and can look at our data trends over time. That is an area, I suppose, more broadly than cat management that we will be looking at around what we should be aiming for various aspects and monitoring our performance against that.
Any further questions about notice and councillors? Councillor Angelo.
I have two questions. The first is about agenda item 10.2, which is one of the questions from the committee by Mr. Maynard, and it's just regarding Council Hop's response. In point number one, there are three different loan items mentioned. Would I get clarity as to what each one of those are? There may be some understanding as to why there are three different loan items.
The CEO.
Through you, Mayor. Thanks for the question. The opportunity to clarify here. So, Council has taken six different times between 2018 and 2021. The debt was taken at various points in time as the government of the Council proceeded. So, at each stage, as Council required, since that time, the Council has repaid various deadlines, and so the debt that was incurred So the summation of it is effectively broadly say those
Councillor Antolli.
Thanks, that's helpful. I have a second question, totally unrelated. It's in reference to the media article over the weekend about a parent in council issuing a parking fine to someone for over $1,000, and it's created a question for me as to do we have similar dollar value parking fines, or what do we have here? Because obviously, here is at $1,000.
Through you, Mayor. Council, the simple answer is no, we don't have fines of that amount. We currently look at parking control in accordance with the road rule 2019. The maximum amount of the penalty is one penalty unit, which is just $205.
Thank you. Any further questions for about notice and councillors? I'm going to move on. Thank you. We have the primary agenda was filed. There were no questions from notice and councillors. And still on page 3, petition still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. And over on page 4, at the time the agenda was filed, no petitions have been received. Still on page 4, officers report to council, rates and charges policy 3.14, with a recommendation on page 5. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. And a mover in Councillor Glaydive and a seconder in Councillor Mitchell. Councillor Glaydive. So we're considering the rates and charges policy 3.14. I note that there are no required changes to the policy, so any further discussion? No, if not, I will put the recommendation and in the agenda on page 5. All those in favour? Yes. Carried. Take this to page 12, Local Government Association of Tasmania General Management Committee. For the recommendation on page 13, I will leave the room.
Thank you. So we're discussing item 15.2, Local Government Association of Tasmania General Management Committee. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. I've got a mover in Practice Street and a seconder in Councillor Mitchell, Practice Street. I did ask that. The Mayor advised that we... Yeah, let's do that. We'll have to snuggle up closely to Councillor Richardson.
Hi.
Do you want to speak to that, Councillor Spirit?
Briefly, Deputy Mayor. With respect to
Contributions? No. I just need to put the motion in. It's moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Hugely. The recommendation is there, please, from the screen. All those in favour, please say aye. And against, motion carried. Very much. Okay, takes us to page 14 of the appendix. For a mover and a seconder, please. For the mover in House Timmy, please, and a seconder in the Deputy Mayor. Anybody got any questions on the appendix? Okay, the recommendation. Oh, sorry, is that a question? Sorry, quite confusing without the light. So.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to, obviously there's a huge amount of popularity with pickleball, and I did see that there was a meeting with the president of the Pickleball Association, and I just wondered how things are going with capacity constraints around pickleball, and just maybe how it fits in more broadly into the sports precinct.
That's a nice segue into promoting the fact that there's a council pickleball thing going on Thursday evening. I noticed that the CEO has strangely not put his name down for. But moving on from that, look, that meeting was certainly about the constraints that the Pickleball Association are having in terms of availability of court space. They have got so big that we can't accommodate all of their games at the Kinder Sports Centre. They're actually having games about three nights a week also at Margate Primary School. And they were keen to know what the chances are of greater availability at the sports centre in the near future. Unfortunately, we can't give them any comfort there. However, once the High Performance Centre for the Jack Jumpers has been constructed for the Jack Jumpers, vacate the court space that they have every morning. That will obviously provide some capacity, which would be good for the club because they are predominantly looking for morning slots as well. And we did suggest to them a couple of alternative school locations that they might like to investigate that might be valuable. There were a couple there that I was able to share with them that they perhaps hadn't thought of, so they were going to go and approach a couple more schools to see. Arrangement that they have with Margate Primary School is working really well. That was a positive meeting. Anything further on any of the appendices? No, look forward to seeing some of you on the court then on Thursday night.
It's moved by Councillor Midgley and seconded by Councillor Graywright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Last one, Councillor King. Notice of motion on page 14. Councillor Midgley has submitted a notice of motion here at Kingston Park and there's a response from Councillor Midgley. Do you have, and do we have a second? Seconded by Councillor Hutt. Thank you. Councillor Midgley. So yes, I put this motion forward, and I did check the, the CEO because I, just want to check that it's okay to put this one forward. And I guess the reason why is because a lot of the time out in the community, people are asking me questions about Kingston Park, and just in regards to the original master plan, finances. What are the updates and things like that? And I guess we discuss a lot within our workshops, and some of the information has been shared. But I guess the report then enables that transparency to community. We can refer community back to this report, and also I guess it enables some action for the future. And it was identified in the council budget that we do, we still have a loan in this area. We do need to put resources towards this. And so, yeah, for me, this is about transparency, taking some action, moving forward, and I guess directing the community to note that we are doing something here.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Any further discussion? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to speak in support of the motion. I think it's a good thing to make sure that we meet the community where they're at, and I can certainly echo Councillor Midgley's report to us about the number of people in the community who take an active interest in this space. It's a really important space for the whole community, and I think part of that co-design process requires us to let people know what the changes have been, so that it's not exactly the same as what was outlined when we were originally talking about this. And I think that's a fairly natural process that takes place with any large phase project that occurs in stages over many years. But I do think it drives us to let the community know where things are at, and I think this, in the spirit of a culture of transparency, I think it reflects well on the council to provide that to the community. So I thank Councillor Midgley, and I also support the motion. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Councillor Midgley, did you want to sum up? No? Okay, thank you. I'll put the recommendation. So it's moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Cox. All those in favour? Against? That brings us to the end of open session. We now need to do the confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. So I'm looking for a mover and a seconder that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, application for leave of absence, and tender AB 2502, willing filling and placement of asphalt and ditching in spray pit. Got a mover in Councillor Cox and a seconder in Councillor Mitchell. All those in favour? Yes. Motion is carried. In accordance with the Timber Council meeting video recording guidelines policy, recording the open sessions and meetings in the So thank you very much to the community who've been with us this evening. And